Let me take a moment and just look at you. As your pastor, I delight to do that. Throughout the week, I'm looking at the directory, I'm looking at your pictures, and I'm praying for you. That's why I know all of your names. I don't know all the children's names yet, but I know all of your names. And we love you, and we pray for you, and we pray that God would do a wonderful work in your heart and your life as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking at an important message this morning, and I'm glad so many are here. I'm going to preach on heaven. And I wondered if my topic was hell, if you'd still be here. I'm not preaching on hell, but I want to preach on heaven because it is that glorious hope that we referred to when we talked about the coming of the Lord. It's that blessed hope that we have that Jesus is coming again. But he said, I will come to you and I will take you to be with myself. And that's true of every believer. When we die, we pass from this life into the next. And it's immediate and we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. So join with me as we pray. Then we're going to read our scripture and ask the Lord's blessing on this message. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your people and sheep of your pasture. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful revelations you give us in the Word of God. Thank you that we have it in our hands. We don't have old scrolls that are kept in a synagogue or in a temple. We have the Bible in all of its fullness, in many different translations and paraphrases. We have all that we need for godliness and to point us in the way of righteousness. We thank you for the way of salvation that's so clear in your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, this morning, as we lift up Jesus and talking about heaven, that you would anoint this servant, my mind, my heart, that I would say the things that you want me to say and not say things that you don't want. I pray that the ears of the listeners would be open to what the Spirit of God says to the church. Would you teach us some new things? Would you instruct us in the things of the Lord? Give us understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There are a couple things I want to do by way of beginning the sermon. I wanted to read the scriptures, but we read the call to worship, which was from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And I want to repeat that again because I think it's important. It's a good launching place for the talking about heaven. Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, of course, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I want you to open your Bibles to Revelation. It's a great book of the Bible. We're not going to preach through all of Revelation. One of these days we will, but we're going to leave that for another time. We want to look at just a portion of the glimpse of heaven in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. This is important for us. I'm going to emphasize chapter 21 and 22 because they give us a wonderful description of heaven. Revelation 22, 1 to 5. Then the angel showed me a river of water of life as clear as crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night, and they will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. I want to talk about heaven. We all think about heaven. Sometime or other in your life, you probably thought about heaven. In our day and age, many people don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in an afterlife. They think that's something that people made up to make themselves feel better about dying. We have basically in our society eliminated heaven. We've erased hell, but we've also erased or at least made heaven seem something fuzzy and far off and maybe make-believe. We don't talk about it. We don't sing about it. We don't preach about it. We don't even think about it except at a funeral. And it's amazing how many funerals I have gone to that pastors make it sound like everybody who dies goes to heaven. I appreciate one Catholic priest that I shared a funeral service with, a man who was not a Christian, had died, and his wife happened to have been a member of the Catholic Church, and then she became a member of our church, and so we shared that funeral together. I was the first to speak, so I was very careful, because I didn't want to step on anybody's toes. So I was very careful and talked about the love of God, nice things, and then the Catholic priest stood up, and this guy was bold and strong, and he preached that man right into hell. He made no uncertain terms and said the man did not receive Christ as a Savior. The man lived a pagan life. He rejected God. He rejected heaven. And therefore, he is in hell today. And he will burn forever and ever. And I'll tell you, I took a lesson from that. Don't mince the Word of God. Preach the truth of God's Word. A wonderful thing happened. The young lady, the woman whose husband had died, stayed after in the funeral weeping. And I went up to comfort her. And I said, some comforting words, and she said, "But Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. I don't know Jesus either. I want to receive Jesus today." And it's that day she gave her heart to the Lord, and the Lord had blessed her. But we don't often talk about heaven, and it's good that we do talk about heaven. There are a couple books I want to recommend to you. One is written by Randy Althorn, and it's a rather thick book, voluminous. It's called Heaven. Great title. And Randy Alcorn has done a thorough study of the Scripture on heaven, and more than I can preach about today. But I've given you a little synopsis of that in a little booklet called Heaven. If you didn't get it, there should be some more on the table as you leave. But that gives you a little bit of an idea about heaven. All of us have a knowledge or a sense that there's something after this life. Don Richardson wrote a book called Eternity in Their Hearts, in which he describes many of the Aborigines, the tribal people that have never heard the Word of God. When the gospel comes to them, they tell about knowing of a God in heaven and a place where we will go when we die. Even those people seem to have a sense of that. But many of us as Americans have just kind of put it aside. We are rationalists. We are logical. We like things to be cut and dried, and so we don't believe in heaven. We don't believe in hell. Mark Twain kind of humorously addressed this in his book, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. I love those books. Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Miss Watson is talking to Huck and trying to get him to give his life to Jesus and tells him about heaven and hell. And he says, she went on and she told me all the good things about that place. She said all about a body and what they do there. They go around all day long with a harp and they sing forever and ever. So I don't think much of it. And I asked her if she reckoned that Tom Sawyer would go there. And she said, not by a far considerable sight. And I was glad about that because I wanted to be with him and I don't want to go there. And some people treat heaven with that kind of humorous attitude rather than knowing about that place that God has prepared for us. It seems that the devil himself has desired to take the idea of heaven out of us. To me, it seems like the lid of hell has been opened in the last few years. And all the demons of hell have rushed out in America and all over the world to confuse people and convince people there is no heaven, there is no hell. And I believe that we need to correct that. And we can by looking into the Word of God. This morning, I want to consider three questions. First of all, what is heaven like? Secondly, how can I be sure that I'm going to get there? And thirdly, what is the alternative? What is heaven like? How can I be sure I'm going there? And what is the alternative? I have written up 30 questions that most people have about heaven. And as I mused on that last night, I added another 6 or 7 questions. I want to read those very quickly for you. And I don't have it printed out for you, so you got to write it down or just memorize it as I read it. And you might have some other questions about heaven. And I want to hear those. So you can email me, ask your questions if it's not among these. Here go the questions. What will heaven be like? What will we look like? What will we do in heaven? Will heaven be boring? What will God look like? Will there be animals there? Will I have a mansion? Will time no longer exist? Will we know everything? Will we remember Earth? Will we recognize loved ones? What age will we be? Some of you are very concerned about that. What won't be in heaven? Will we look like we do on earth? Now, there's a horrible thought. Will we be married and have families? Will we be able to fly? Will we still be male and female? Will we be able to travel to the stars or the planets or the universe? Will we be like the angels? Will there be food in heaven? All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Will there be bathrooms in heaven? Will there be games, video games, computers in heaven? Will there be beer, wine, alcohol, or smoking in heaven? Will there be sports in heaven? Will we be able to hunt, fish, and shoot in heaven? Will there be travel, or how will we travel in heaven? By boats, cars, airplanes, spaceships? Will we ever sleep in heaven? Will we have to study in heaven? Do we have to go to school? How will we communicate in heaven? By cell phones, telepathy, or some other way? What language will we speak in heaven? And then these last few that I thought of. Will there be extraterrestrials in heaven? Will there be dancing in heaven? Will there be babies in heaven? Will there be snow in heaven? Will there be superpowers in heaven? Will we have jobs in heaven? Will there be ice skating rinks in heaven? All of those questions are valid questions for us to ask, and probably 100 more you want to ask about heaven. But the source is not Pastor Dick. The source of the answers is not from me. It is from the Word of God. And so God has given us descriptions of heaven, always with a limitation, that whenever a man from the Old Testament or New Testament saw a glimpse of heaven, God restrained him and said, don't say everything that you see. Seal it up in the book. It is not for now. They are not to know all the things about heaven. So we can know that we're not going to know everything about heaven until we get there. But we can know enough to whet our appetites and know that Jesus is there and we will be there and we'll live forever and ever in a wonderful place. The Gaithers have written a wonderful song that I enjoyed with our children. It's called the Won't Be Song. And I'd love to sing it for you, but I won't. And it goes like this. I'm making a list. I just want to see what won't be bothering me. I'm making my list of won't be's in heaven. I'm checking it twice. I just want to find what's nice. I'll leave the rest behind. I'm making my list of won't be's in heaven. There won't be politics to fuss about. I'm waiting for an amen. There won't be tires that flat for me to change. There won't be traffic jams to slow me down. And there won't be taxes. There won't be bills that I can't pay. I'm making my list of won't be's in heaven. I'm checking it twice. I just want to find what's nice. I'll leave the rest behind. And then it goes on to say, there won't be tummy aches to bother me. There won't be runny nose for me to wipe. There won't be skeeter bites for me to scratch. And there won't be spinach. And there won't be teachers who aren't my type. There's a lot of things that won't be in heaven, but I trust that you will be one of those that will be in heaven. As we begin to look at heaven and see the pictures that God has for us, I have given you an insert in your bulletin with a list of about, I think there's 10 or 11 scripture passages that you can go to and find all the descriptions of heaven that I'm going to utilize here in this message. But I wanted to give you a taste of heaven from someone who has been there. The other book I would recommend to you this morning is called 90 Minutes in Heaven. In 2008, we at the Alliance Church here in Grove City invited Don Piper to come and visit and share his testimony. Don was killed in an automobile accident. Yes, he was killed in an automobile accident, pronounced dead three times by the EMTs that were there, covered over with a tarp, and given up for dead for 90 minutes. Through a series of circumstances, he came back to life, and eventually he tells the story of what happened in those 90 minutes. And he talks about what happened in heaven. And I want to read to you some of that because it's a firsthand experience of one who was in heaven and saw the glories that are there. Now, I want you to beware that there are lots of people that claim that they've been to heaven, but we can't always believe what they say. It must agree with Scripture for us to know that it's true. He said, when I died, I didn't flow along into a large dark tunnel, but there was a light that enveloped me with a brilliance beyond earthly comprehension or description. He said, suddenly I was standing in heaven. Joy pulsated through me as I looked around in that moment. I became aware of a large crowd of people. They stood in front of a brilliant, ornate gate. I have no idea how far away they were. Such things as distance didn't matter. As the crowd rushed toward me, I didn't see Jesus, but I did see people I had known. They surged toward me. I knew instantly all of them that had died during my lifetime. And their presence seemed absolutely natural. They rushed toward me, and every person was smiling and shouting and praising God. Although no one said so intuitively, I knew that they were my celestial welcoming committee. It was as if they had gathered around just outside Heaven's Gate waiting for me. The first person I recognized was Joel Kolbeth, my grandfather, and he looked exactly as I remembered him, with his shock of white hair and what I called a big banana nose. He stopped momentarily and stood in front of me. A grin covered his face. I may have called his name, I'm not quite sure, but he said, "Donnie." That's what he called me when he was alive. His eyes lit up, and he held out his arms, and as he took a last step toward me, he embraced me, holding me tightly. He was once again the robust, strong grandfather that I had remembered as a child. He goes on to tell about how his grandfather died, and he happened to be there at the moment of the heart attack and witnessed that. He said another person that greeted me in this committee was Mike Wood, my childhood friend. Mike was special because he invited me to Sunday school and he influenced me into becoming a Christian. Mike was the most devoted Christian I ever knew. When he was 19, Mike was killed in a car wreck. It broke my heart when I heard about his death. It took me a long time to get over it. But his death was the biggest shock of my life. But this shock of seeing him in heaven was even better. And now I saw Mike in heaven. As he slipped his arm around my shoulder, my pain and grief vanished. Never had I seen Mike smile so brightly. I still don't know why, but the joyousness of the place wiped away any questions. Everything felt blissful and perfect. Now I'm going to read some excerpts of just what he's saying about heaven. He said, "I had never imagined anyone being as happy as all of these people were. Their face radiated a serenity that I have never seen on earth. All of them were full of life and expressed radiant joy. Time had no meaning. However, for clarity, I'll relate the experience in terms that we can understand. I saw my great-grandfather, heard his voice, and felt his embrace. I saw Barry Wilson, my classmate in high school, who drowned in the lake, and he hugged me and smiled and radiated a smile and happiness which is not possible to know here on earth. I spotted two teachers that had loved me and often talked to me about Jesus Christ. I walked among them and I became aware of a wide variety of ages, old and young, and of every age in between that were surrounded around me. And all were joyful." And I have used earthly terms to try to describe this, but there is no description of the joy that I felt that inundated me. Everything I experienced was a first-class buffet for the senses. I had never felt such powerful embraces, feasted my eyes on such beauty. Heaven's light and textures defy earthly eyes. Warm, radiant light engulfed me. As I looked around, I could hardly grasp the vivid, dazzling colors that were about me. And he goes on, and I won't read any more of that, but he goes on to tell some of the experiences of those people that were gathered around him. He said, "I didn't know how we were moving, but we were all moving as one toward the gate." And he said the gates were not pearly gates as we think of them in our songs. They weren't pearly, but they were pearlescent. That is, they glowed like a pearl. And he said they were humongous, and the walls of the city, he said, as far as the eye could see, to the right and to the left, and they towered up to heaven. And he said, "While I was standing there, I realized there was music going on all around me. It was filling the air. It filled the clouds or whatever was above me." And he said, "I didn't even look up. I never thought of looking up because I was looking at these glowing faces. And all of us were moving toward the open gate. And as we approached the gate, the sound of the music became a rustle of wind." Or he said, "It's like a rushing mighty water." He said, "It sounded like angel wings, but they were all playing music at the same time." And he said, "It was like a thousand songs all blended into one." And then he said, "I am not musical, but in heaven I realized all the music could be separated in my ears. I could hear hymns that we sang on earth. I could hear songs that I've never heard of before. I could hear contemporary music and traditional music." And all God's people said, amen. It won't be all one kind of music. And he said, it was beyond imagination. And I realized I could sing along with them. I could sing those songs, and I heard the tunes. And though I didn't sing on earth, didn't have a good voice, I could sing with all the throngs that were in heaven. And he said, as we approached the gate, that noise became louder and louder. It was like everything in heaven was praising God and singing His praises all at once. He said, it's beyond description. It was like stereo multiplied a billion times over. And he said, it just surrounded me. And it filled me with joy and thanksgiving that I was in the place where Jesus was. And I was walking through the pearly gates. And he said, just as we got to the pearly gates, suddenly, I was back in the car. And I was dead and being raised to life. And the rest of the story you'll have to read about in there. But it gives a taste, just a little taste, of what heaven would be like to walk into heaven. Often we think of heaven as a place, as somewhere out there in the universe. But heaven is not in the universe. Heaven is another dimension altogether. You see, God created the universe and He created the world all at one time. But He existed long before that. He exists in a dimension we cannot see. And dying would be like suddenly a gateway opens and we walk through. It's like I'm here in this life and suddenly I walk through and I'm there. And suddenly I am surrounded by all the things that God created for me to enjoy. We have much that God says about heaven. Much that He says about what we can expect to see there. I've given you a list and I've challenged you to go home and read through the scriptures of Revelation primarily and then Isaiah. I'm going to read some of those, but I want you to get a gist of what heaven is like through the Word of God. We have read chapter 22 and just a few verses that give us a taste of heaven. Let me list some of those things. There will be a river that has the water of life, and it's clear like crystal. It flows from the throne of God. There is a tree of life on either side of the river, and it has 12 fruits that are ripe every month. And then there are leaves of the tree, and they are for the healing of the nations. There's no more curse. And God will be there and the Lamb of God will be there. The servants of God will serve Him. They will see His face. His name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night, no lamp, no sun, no moon. The Lord our God is the light, and they will reign with Me forever and ever. And their robes will be washed in white, and they will eat from the tree of the garden, and they will go into that city. In chapter 21, we have a beautiful description of that city of God. And I won't go into all of that, but allow you to go through. But let me highlight some of the things it says about the city of God. It's like a new Jerusalem. It's got those walls that were described by Don Piper. The streets are gold. Now, I want you to pause for a moment. I have never seen a street of gold. I could see gold. I have a gold ring here. But Don Piper described it, and John the Apostle described it, as gold that's transparent. And the street of the city is paved with this gold. And he tries to describe it, but he loses words. He says, I can't describe it. It is beyond all description. It is like transparent glass. And then he described the gates of the city as being pearly gates. And they are huge gates that open for the people of God to enter in. And in that passage, chapter 21, it says He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no crying, no pain. The old is passed away. Everything has become new. It is important for us to understand these truths about a place called heaven. Now, for most of us, that's still something way off. We still can't quite comprehend it. And I wish there was a way that I could take you into the pearly gates and allowed you to see and hear and experience with your senses all that heaven is. I can't do that. But the Lord does that when He takes you through the Word of God. When you read through the passages in Revelation, you will get a taste of what heaven is like. You will see some of the things the Lord has for you in heaven. Now, to speed things up, I have made a list of some of those highlighted things that I found in the book of Revelation concerning heaven and what it's like. Are you ready for this? There's 21 of them. Ready? Here we go. It is a place, as I said, not in this universe, but in another dimension. It is called God's dwelling. It's called a place where there are many dwellings. I love the King James Version that said there are many mansions in heaven. The word is used dwelling places or homes that are in heaven. And we just sang a song about a mansion over the hilltop in that bright land. I want one that's silver lined. I think that's kind of selfish. I want one that's silver lined. Man, I'll take a shack. As long as it's in heaven. I don't care if it's got pearly decorations or if it's got silver or gold or anything else. I'm just happy to be there. And Jesus is there. He's at the right hand of the Father. Christians who die go there. Paul says we go immediately from the presence here in this life into the presence of the Lord. Jesus called it my Father's house. Hebrews calls it a better country, a city built by God. Jesus called it paradise. He told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. We've mentioned those streets of gold and the pearly gates. And when we enter into those gates, we will be like him. I was a bit troubled when Don Piper said he recognized people and they were as they were on the earth and as he remembered them. And then he talks about his grandmother, who was an American Indian or part American Indian. He said in life she had a very wrinkled face and she was curved over from osteoporosis. But he said when I saw her in heaven, she had the same face, but the wrinkles were erased. Somebody give me an amen. And she was no longer curved and bent over, but she was standing upright and she was able to lift her arms and praise the Lord and embrace him with a strong embrace. So there will be a recognition of us in heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look kind of like me so that people can recognize who I am. And I think God does that deliberately. But when Jesus comes again, when he comes to take us home and resurrects our bodies out of the ground or takes us who are alive and remain, in that moment, we will be changed. We will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We will be clothed with a new body. Hallelujah. Frank, you better say hallelujah. Frank over here had a terrible accident as well, and he's left damaged, and you can see the side of his head. Now, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I was thinking of you when I prepared the message on heaven. I can't wait to see Frank in heaven, because I think your head's going to be good. I don't know if you're going to have hair in heaven, but I think we're going to recognize him in heaven. Now, there are things about my body I don't like, and I don't want it to go to heaven and be there. I have to use glasses, but I'm thankful. But when I get into heaven, the Lord says he will heal all their diseases. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. So once I eat that leaf of that tree, man, my eyesight's going to be perfect. It's going to be 20/20 or better. I'm also colorblind. I didn't realize that. I went through kindergarten and first grade getting X's on my papers because I made the grass brown and the trees and other things different colors, and the sky was purple. I thought that's the way it was. And so I got scolded for it, and I had to actually read the crayons before I would use them after that. I'd have to see whether it was purple or blue. But when I walk into heaven, suddenly that's going to be healed, and I'm going to see bright colors as I've never seen them before. Don Piper thought it was amazing. I'm going to think it's even more amazing. I'm going to grab Marilyn and say, look at this, look at this. And she said, I know. It's always been that way. It's like going out of a black and white world into a colorized world. It's about going into a world where we've been in monaural or one volume and then suddenly into stereophonic sound. Everything is alive and much more alive than ever before. Scripture says when we walk into heaven, we shall be like him. We will be transformed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. Now, before Christ comes, you're going to remain looking much like you look now. In the age that you died, so people can recognize you. I don't know why the Lord intended that, but that seems to be what he intends. When Jesus came back to visit his disciples, he had been in heaven. He comes back to visit them. And he looked the same. He said, here's my hands. Here's my scars. So he still has those marks on his body. But that's not like our glorified body. Our glorified body is going to be even better. And then as I read Revelation, I found out a wonderful thing. When the Lord comes again and our new bodies are given to us, he's going to give us something else that's new. He's going to give us a new name. A new name. My name is Richard William LaFountain, otherwise known by my mom as Dickie Bill. And I no longer will be called Dickie Bill. So don't you dare call me Dickie Bill in heaven. The Lord says he's going to give me a new name. New name. I think I like Prince Caspian or something like that. Something really glorious. But we're going to be given a new name, and nobody knows what that name is but you yourself. The Lord's going to give you that name and say, this is you. This is who I created you to be. This is the name I created before you were born. This is your name, and that's going to be your name in heaven. Oh, I can't wait. I want to find out what my name is, and I hope it's not hard to pronounce. Which brings up another subject about heaven. What language are we going to speak? What language do they speak in heaven? Well, we don't know what language they speak in heaven. Are we going to speak Aramaic like Jesus? Are we going to speak Greek? Are we going to speak Hebrew? I don't believe so, because you remember what languages were like before the Tower of Babel? The whole earth was of one language. And then because of sin and trying to reach heaven with the tower, God confused their language and therefore multiple languages. I think we'll go back to speaking one language, and it will be the language of heaven, whatever that is. And so we'll be able to communicate with each other effectively and well. And all of us will have abilities in our speech patterns. We won't have to worry about grammar and about spelling, because everything will be perfect. I love that when Don Piper talked about him, and he said, what amazed me was everything was perfect. There was nothing imperfect at all. It's just like, wow. Whoa, everywhere you look, it was perfect. See, that's what God created heaven for. It is the place that He wanted us to be. But when He created the world and the earth, He wanted this to be the planet on which we would live and enjoy His presence, and He would come down and visit with us. As a matter of fact, if you've ever read the apocryphal book called Adam and Eve, I recommend it. Read it like a novel. It's not inspired like the Word of God, but it is inspiring because it talks about the emotions of Adam and Eve, who were in the Garden of Eden. They had this bright light, this shining light, just like we will have in heaven, and they were able to commune with angels as face to face through this dimension. They said the angels are right there to talk to, and we came and we talked, and God came in the cool of the day and walked and talked with us. But when we sinned, suddenly that was shut off. Boom! That gate to heaven was closed and we were cut off. And that book of Adam and Eve describes the emotions, the turmoil they went through of being cut off from God and fellowship. And that bright light was no longer there. And the sun would burn them. And they had to work and labor with their hands and the sweat of their brow. And it rained and it thundered and lightning. All those things were unknown to them. You see, we come from the other angle. We live in a world that is fallen, and all we have known is this fallen world. So we try to make this thing the best that it can be here. And we've done a lot of improvements, believe me. But we can't compare to what heaven is going to be like, because God didn't intend for us to stay on a cursed earth. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you can be also. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. And when I look around the earth, I know that this earth is going to burn up. God said it's going to one day melt with a fervent heat. And then He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where there's always righteousness. God did this for us. Let me go on with a few other things that I see in heaven. God says He's going to give you a white stone with your new name on it. I don't get that. Why do I have to carry around a stone in heaven? Maybe it's something we hang around our neck. Maybe it's the tag, welcome, my name is Prince Charming. But He said He's going to give us that white stone with a new name on it. And we're going to eat hidden manna. Did you ever think of the Old Testament manna? God says that was a reflection of what's really in heaven, and real manna exists in heaven. And He says, I'm going to give you the morning star. What does that mean? He's going to give us the morning star. Perhaps He's going to allow us to visit all the planets. Perhaps He's going to allow us to visit all the stars. Perhaps He's going to put us on different... I don't know how God's going to do it. There are a lot of... The Scripture says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And then God says, we're going to get a crown of life. I love that. We're going to get a crown. Some of you are going to get crowns with diamonds in it. Some of you are going to get crowns with pebbles in it. I don't know. But you're going to get a crown. And I love this in Revelation. It says they were before the throne of God, and when Jesus walked in, everyone took off their crowns and threw it at His feet and said, no, Lord, You are worthy to receive all honor and glory and praise, because You redeemed us. We didn't do anything. You redeemed us by Your blood of every nation, tribe, and people. And so that crown is not going to be ours to keep, but we throw it at the feet of Jesus. And then He says, you will walk with Me in white. And reading the book of Revelation, you find that you're going to be dressed in white. Now, there are a couple people here that are dressed in white today. But this white is going to be that luminescent white Revelation says it's white linen that is washed in the blood of Jesus. Now think about that for a moment. White linen washed in the blood of Jesus would not be white any longer. It would be red. But in God's realm, when he washes you in the blood of Jesus, you're whiter than snow. And those garments are going to be like tunics. So we don't have to go to the store and find new clothes to wear. We're not going to be worried about fads and whether we're up to date. As far as I can see, we're going to be wearing tunics in heaven. And then nobody's going to be bragging about looking better than somebody else. So some of you are disappointed with that. I was hoping there'd be a big mall in heaven with a lot of dress stores, but no, I don't think so. It says, and then the Lord is going to write his name on your forehead. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to use a tattoo machine and tie you down and tattoo you, but I think he's probably just going to put his hand on your head. And embedded in there, perhaps not visible to anybody else, is going to be the name of the Lord. And he said that name that he's going to put on you is a name that you've never heard before. It's his name in heaven. And you will be with him forever and ever. And we will shine like the sun. We will shine like the sun in all its glory. That's amazing. That you're going to be in heaven shining. You're going to glow. Take a moment and look around you. I get the perspective here. I get to look at you, but turn around, look at people. Go ahead, turn around and look at somebody. Turn around and look at them. Do you see anybody glowing? Probably not, except for a few bald heads that are shining. I asked Frank this morning, did you buff it? Did you polish it? He said, yeah, I did. Well, he's trying to look like heaven. You're going to be glowing. But that radiance is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. And then he says, the Lord himself is going to rejoice over you with singing. The Lord is going to rejoice over you with singing. That's amazing. And you will be his precious jewels kept in the palm of his hand. Let me read a couple more things to you and then I'm going to close. Isaiah chapter 11 gives us an insight on heaven from the Old Testament perspective. In Isaiah chapter 11 it says, in that day, verse 6. The wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf, and the lion, and the yearling together, and a young child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, the young will lie down together, the lion will eat straw like an ox, the infant will play near the hole of a cobra, the young child will put his hand into a viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy in all my mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I think that's amazing. The Lord says there are going to be animals in heaven. For those of you that are worried about that. Now, somebody's going to come up to me and say, do you think my dog is going to be in heaven? My answer to that is no. I don't think your dog is going to be in heaven. Because your dog would have to be saved to get to heaven. And your dog is a dog. I love your dog. But your dog is a sinner. Your dog is on the earth. In heaven, there are going to be animals that are glorious animals, just like our glorified body. You'll have a better dog in heaven. And maybe you could call him by the same name. I don't know. But the Bible says there's going to be animals in heaven. We know there's animals in heaven because when Jesus comes back with all his saints and with all his armies, they're riding on horses. So there's going to be horses in heaven. There's going to be an ox in heaven. There's going to be a lion. There's even going to be snakes, but they will not be poisonous. They will not harm us. And then we see in Isaiah chapter 35, it gives us a little more. It says, Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And only there the redeemed will walk, and the ransomed of the Lord will return, and they will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will pass away. All of these things are in Scripture, and so much more for us to understand about heaven. There's going to be children there. There's going to be animals there. No, I don't know about the ages. Somebody asked, are there going to be babies in heaven? I believe so. I think there's going to be thousands upon thousands of babies who died in the womb that were killed by our society. There's going to be young stillborns that are there. As I was preparing this, I came upstairs to talk to Marilyn, and I was weeping. And she kind of said, what are you crying about? And I said, I'm crying because I was thinking about heaven, and I'm going to see my 12-year-old daughter, Amy, who died some 35, 40 years ago. And I'm going to see her, and she's going to look exactly like she did at 12 years old, I think, or maybe a little bit more mature. But I also have a grandson, Joshua Daniel, who died in childbirth. And Joshua Daniel's going to be there. And that's what made me cry. I pictured my daughter standing there and greeting me in heaven and saying, I want you to introduce someone to you. And little Joshua Daniel is going to look up at me and he's going to say, Pop-Pop, it's me. And I'll be reunited with them forever and ever. Oh, the glories of heaven cannot be described this side of heaven, but we could see glimpses of them, that God gives us little pieces of information so that we might know that there's a place waiting for you. So how do we get there? Jesus said it in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get it to heaven. In Revelation, you'll read that all of those that were before the throne of God, all of those in heaven who sing His praises, who walk the streets of gold, who are shining like the brightness of the sun, all of those have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has become their Savior, and He belongs to them, and they to Him. My friend, the way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Well, how do I do that? It's a simple childlike prayer. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me my sins. I accept you. I receive you as my Savior. Come into my life and cleanse me and write my name in heaven. And the moment you call upon the Lord says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All you have to do is call, but so many have lived their whole lives thinking they got to go to church, you got to do all these rules and regulations to get in heaven. My friend, those rules and regulations don't get you in heaven. Going to church doesn't get you heaven. Giving offerings don't make you a Christian or don't get you in heaven. What gets you in heaven is Jesus Christ. He's knocking at your heart's door and He's saying, will you allow me to come in and cleanse your life and get you ready for heaven? And the moment you call on Him, the moment you receive Him, He comes in. And your life is transformed and your name is written in the book of life. I love that. And there's coming that one day, and I'd like to walk around and do this, but there's one day, He says, in heaven before all the throne, before the throne of God, the books are going to be open and people are going to be judged by what they did. But then He says, another book is open. He says, everybody's going to be judged by the book of life. And the angel of the Lord's going to look down and find if your name's there. Remember the old song, is my name written there on the page, white and fair, in the book of His kingdom, it's my name written there. The question this morning for you is your name written there? If you don't know that it's written there, you've never called on the Lord. And if you call on Him and ask Him to be your Savior, He'll come in and be your Savior. The last question is this. First of all, what's heaven like? We've given you a taste. How can I be sure to get there? By receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the question is, what's the alternative? What's the alternative to heaven? I have a friend in college that was talking about heaven, and he says, I don't really want to go there. I really don't want to go to heaven because it sounds boring. I don't really want to play a harp and float on a cloud and do nothing every day for the rest of eternity. That's so boring to me. And he said, if there was any other alternative other than hell, I would take it. And I thought, how sad. That young man didn't understand heaven. But he does express something that's in the heart of everyone else. And that is, they're looking for alternative ways. I don't want to go to heaven, or I don't want to go to be with Jesus. So is there an alternative? And every passage in the book of Revelation that talks about the glory of heaven and the glory of the Lord is followed by a warning that all of those evil people that do all the evil things on earth and have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior will not be there. But they will be lost forever and ever. And so it's very important for us to understand that there is no alternative, because all of sin had come short of the glory of God. All of us are destined to hell until the day we ask Jesus to be our Savior. And He reaches down and He rescues us, takes our feet out of the miry clay and sets them on a rock, writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are saved. And we can know that we have life through His name. That's the message of the gospel. God didn't make you just to live your life on earth, but He made you for a glorious place in heaven. And God has something for you in heaven to do. Now, I wish I could answer all the 36 questions that I listed for you. You can email me and I'll answer in my perspective, try to give you some scriptures on some of those. But I think it's important that we understand that heaven is just a heartbeat away. Heaven is just a breath away. For in a moment, every one of us is going to lose our life through COVID or cancer or something else, or just from old age. But we're going to breathe our last breath, and in that moment we will know we pass from death unto life. It was D.L. Moody that had them print in the paper. He said, when you read the obituary that says D.L. Moody died, he said, don't you believe it. Because the day that I die is the day that I live and I walk into heaven. D.L. Moody was on his deathbed and he looked up and he said, earth is receding and heaven is opening. I'm going home. And he passed away from this life into the next. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, heaven is a wonderful place beyond description. We cannot begin to fathom the immensity of that place and the wonders that are waiting for us there. It's a place that you have prepared for them that love you, for them who have received you, for them who follow you. Lord, we want to be among that crowd. We want to receive that new body, that new life. We want to walk the streets of gold. We want to be in heaven with you, Lord. Father, but I pray for those this morning that are not sure about heaven. For those that have never really made that decision and said, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Lord, may they pray that prayer. And if you're that person right now, just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me my sins and wash me in your precious blood. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and be my Savior forever. And that's all you need to say. Believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be your Savior. Father, I pray that you would bless the word, though stumbling and feeble it is. As Don Piper said, there's not words to describe heaven. I pray that you will give us a taste of heaven and that you will give us a hunger for heaven that we might never be lost. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a closing hymn, again, risky because I don't know that you know it. It's number 464. 464. It's just a chorus, When We See Christ. 464. If you'll stand, we'll sing that together and then receive the benediction. It says 464 on my notes. I think that's wrong. What is the number? 466. Let's stand together. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Now you bow your hearts and receive the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you falling and present you faultless before his glorious presence with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. May the Lord bless you. You are dismissed. If you didn't receive that booklet, it's on the back table, and please pick it up.